Let's pray together. Father, we rejoice that we know you and we know that fullness of joy comes from your right hand. And so, Father, we truly are a privileged and blessed people. And tonight we realize that we are more indebted to you because you are going to speak to us through your word. You will listen to us when we pray. And Father, we just really count that a great honor as well to know that you are the living God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers. Help us tonight to know your presence in a felt way. May you speak to us and may we also know your will when it comes to our prayer time. So Lord, we ask that you will be in this meeting and you will be swift to bless, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7, and we're going to read the first three verses. Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. I don't know if tonight we have any science fiction fans in the room, perhaps not, but I'm sure most, we wouldn't have been able to avoid that. I'm sure most of us know what that is. That's the, thank you, of Star Trek, Starship Enterprise, that's the one. And of course, that whole, if you don't know anything about it, there is some people who explore space in a starship, which can go very fast, which it would have to, wouldn't it, to be able to explore space. And of course, it's totally based on an atheistic worldview that we've evolved and all species around the place have evolved. But as long as you've got that in your mind, it's not all bad. But imagine you're on that starship. And in the starship, it's a really huge spaceship. And on it, there's the engine rooms that obviously help control the warp drive engine. There's a sick bay. I'm really showing my ignorance on these things. There's other things as well. I don't know. I'm not really a fan. I'm not a fan, but I'm not a fan. And so if you're on the Starship Enterprise, what is the most important thing for you? If you're on the Starship Enterprise, perhaps working in the sick bay, or perhaps working in one of the engine rooms, what is the most important thing? Well, the thing that matters most is who is on the bridge. That's who's making all the decisions. And most importantly, who is sat in the captain's chair? Because whoever sat in the captain's chair is the one who has command, and he or she is responsible for the operation, the whole operation of that entire ship. The safety of that ship rests in that person's hands. The destiny of that ship is determined by the person that is sat in that chair. They make all the choices about what to do in certain scenarios. They choose what to do when under attack. They choose what to do when there's an emergency. And if you were on that starship, I'm sure it would take great humility to realize that you might not even be the best person to be captain of that ship. You want the person who has the right qualities, who can be in charge and make those right decisions when life is especially testing and tough. Now, we're thinking again about the heart tonight, and we'll just have one more week next week thinking about the heart, and after that we'll break till September. I'm at Cape May Hall the following Monday doing a youth week, so I'd appreciate prayers for that. I know it's CCYC the week after that as well, so many things to pray about with youth work. But this week and next week we're going to finish our series on the heart. We've just been looking at the heart in different places in the Bible. We've already seen, haven't we, how our sin affects God's heart. So God is grieved in his heart by our sin. We've seen that our hearts are evil from our childhood. We've seen things like a leaky heart and a faint heart. But we've also seen how God, because he is rich in kindness, gives us a new heart. Isn't that amazing? Even though we've got hearts that just choose the wrong thing and have the wrong thoughts and the wrong desires, God is a God who steps in and does something amazing that we cannot do for ourselves, and that is give us a new heart, a heart to desire him, a heart that knows his laws and a heart that will follow him. So last week we were thinking about guarding our hearts, but we're also thinking about it today, just because, just like on the Starship Enterprise, having the right captain sat in the chair it is also essential that we have the right captain on the bridge of our lives. And it takes real humility. You know, becoming a Christian involves a lot of humility, realizing that we are not the best person to captain our own lives. Do you realize that? We need someone else. We need someone other to come, take over, lead us, and direct us. And becoming a Christian, being born again, having our sins forgiven, that involves that very process. It's a case of us getting up out of the chair and allowing the Lord Jesus to come and sit there, to be the one who calls the directions, the one who is barking out the orders, if you like, the one who is telling us which way to go. It's the Lord that takes his rightful seat when we become a Christian. Someone said it's an oxymoron to say no, Lord. It's just contradictory, isn't it? That's like being on the bridge and the captain says, this is what's required of you, and you say, no, captain. You cannot usurp, you have no right usurping the captain's authority. That's to defy your commander and chief. Jesus knows how to fly the ship of our lives best. He is the chief captain. He's the master of navigation. He knows the very best possible path for your life and for my life. But what do we do so often? Well, so often we don't follow the instructions of the commander, do we? We ignore the one who died for us. And let me put it as simply as I can. If we are captain of our own lives, then Houston, we have a problem, to continue on the space theme. It will all be a big wreckage. It's only allowing Jesus to be the captain of our lives will things work out okay. And as Christians, we need to be really careful that we guard our hearts. We really do. This is such a crucial topic. It's really important to think about it. Last week, we were thinking about guarding the heart, and we were a few chapters back in Proverbs. And we saw last time how important it is for us to listen to God's words. We saw that. We need to listen. We need to keep God's words or obey God's words, the Bible. We need to value the Bible. And we need to make sure that we avoid the path of the wicked at all costs. And tonight we're going to be exploring some similar themes, really. Much of what is said in the opening chapters of Proverbs really is looking at similar themes from different directions. There are fresh truth, but much of the beginning of Proverbs is all to do with listening and paying attention to somebody's words. It's interesting, isn't it? If there are some dangerous chemicals, or if there's a danger, maybe a bull in a field, often what you find is the greater the danger, the bigger the warning sign. So if there's a very real danger, there might be several signs. You know, fragile roof, you see it all around a building because of the very real danger. Well, the opening chapters of Proverbs, they cover a lot of the same ground. And I think these are just big warning signs. Crucial things, reminders time after time. So just look at me at Proverbs 1 and verse 8. And I just skimmed over these. I'm sure there are many more in there as well. But Proverbs 1 verse 8, that says very simply, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 2 verse 1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and it goes on. Go forward to chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Chapter 4, verse 10. Listen, my son, accept what I say in the years of your life will be many. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Then chapter 7, verse 1, what we've already read. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. So time after time in the Proverbs, beginning of Proverbs especially, there is this urge, this reminder for the son, or in some cases sons, to heed the instruction of his parents, and more specifically, or more often, the instruction of his father. Following on from the recent EU referendum, there was a whole lot of talking. Well, there's a whole lot of talking before it as well, in fact. But people on both sides who voted different ways, whatever, were talking after and debating the rights and the wrongs. And after the referendum, lots of underlying feelings and emotions bubbled over onto the surface, didn't they? Angry people were venting on debates and on the radio. And of course, racism and hatred was one of the things that came to the surface. Because of the slim majority of Brexit, some people thought, because of that result, they now had a right to go around making racist comments to people. Almost like they thought that the result supported their opinion, which obviously it didn't. But then also, I don't know if you notice this, the media also played it a little bit like this. They said, if you are old, you probably voted to leave. And if you were young, you probably voted to stay. They also said, if you were clever, you voted to remain. And if you weren't so clever, you voted to leave. That's basically, in broad brushstroke, how the media played it. And all these things were bubbling up again, and ageism, I thought this came out on the radio so clearly, which I think is a big problem in our country. This attitude, I heard one person say, ranting on a radio station to an old guy she was talking to, you've ruined my life. I cannot believe it. You've taken my future away from me. My vote should have counted more than yours. And that was the attitude of this person, ageism. And I think the attitude of many young people, my generation, our generation, is this sort of chip on our shoulder, we're the generation who now have it right. We're the ones who have finally figured out what life is all about, and nobody else now has a clue. One caller who was in his 20s rang up a particular radio show and said, I'm in my young 20s, and I think maybe we should listen to these older folks and what they're saying. And I thought he hit the nail on the head, not with what he said after that, but just with that. Spot on. Learn of people more mature and wise than ourselves. And that's what we see in Proverbs. But let me warn you, don't be fooled. You might be 16 and be spiritually mature. Likewise, you might be 76, 86, whatever, and you might be a spiritual babe. When I'm talking about age, I'm not talking about the age that your birth certificate suggests. I'm talking about the age your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faith, and self-control suggests. That's what it means to be mature. And right through the beginning of Proverbs, we have time after time this reminder of the son to pay attention to his father's teaching. Now, really important thing to point out context-wise, and this came home to me when I was watching VeggieTales one day, like you do. There's a song in VeggieTales. It's like, if you don't understand, go and ask your dad. But we need to understand the context, don't we? Because, for example, chapter 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words. And obviously, it's a father talking. So Johnny, whose dad's in prison for dealing drugs, you know, Johnny, do Proverbs 7, go and listen to everything your dad says and follow his mottos and principles in life. Of course not. Intuitively, we know, don't we, just from the context, that this is a godly father giving instructions to his son. That's what I picked up on VeggieTales. I was thinking, this song saying, you know, go home and ask your dad. And I'm thinking, all these people watching it, and they might go and ask the dad, who might give them totally unwise advice. Maybe ask Proverbs instead. That's probably a safer place to go to. So the proper context is a wise, godly person giving advice, guidance, commands to their children. So what's the advice or the commands that we're going to take with us tonight? Well, let me read those verses to you again. So it's chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Also move back with me to chapter 6 and verses 20 to 22. This is saying similar things, just in a different way. So verse 20 of chapter 6. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. when you awake, they will speak to you. We are to guard our hearts. We are to protect the bridge of our lives, the control center. And we are to do that by storing up, by guarding, and by binding all this teaching about God in our hearts. Now, it's probably the application of every sermon that should come up every time. Very simply, we need to get back to or continue loving the Bible so that, hear me very carefully, so that we'll love Jesus. So we don't worship the Bible, we worship Jesus, the God of the Bible, but it's only in the Bible do we learn about Jesus. Now, I'm not getting legalistic here when I say it's how essential it is to spend time in the Bible, so we're storing up all these things in our heart. It's about as legalistic as telling a parachutist to strap on his parachute. It's about as legalistic as telling an F1 driver to strap himself in. It's about as legalistic as the riot policeman picking up his riot shield. It's about as legalistic as it is brushing your teeth or having three meals a day or making sure you get good night's sleep. These things are for our good. When we see Jesus in his beauty, when we realize that he is the all-sovereign king of our lives, who is all-wise and all-good, then why wouldn't we hang on his every word? I don't know if you have them anymore, but they used to have these old agony aunt things in newspapers, and someone would write in, "Dear auntie whoever, I've got a real problem with whatever. What should I do about the situation? I'd really appreciate your help." And I'm sure the writer of that question would hang on every single word of this agony aunt, who probably is no better qualified to deal with the situation than they are. Well, we have the words of our Creator God. He has wisdom. It's wisdom beyond our own wisdom. And we're to store these things in our hearts. We're to guard them. We're to bind them on our hearts. So what concepts is that getting across? What does it mean to store up? Every now and again, something will happen, perhaps there's a fuel shortage. And as a result, you'll see people just queuing up at the petrol stations. The panic buying. They're wanting to stockpile. Occasionally, if I go and do the shopping, Holly must despair. I just always come back with more than everything we need. My motto is, you know, why buy it once when you can get it twice? So, like, I'll get two bags of porridge instead of one. I think it comes from growing up about 30, 40 minutes away from a supermarket. So you just always, like, shop to make sure you had plenty in stock. But the point is, you don't want to run out of what you need. That's the point. And we must store up God's word so we don't run out of this wisdom when we need it. We don't want to be caught short in any situation. To make sure that doesn't happen, we need to store away as much of God's word as we possibly can. If you've gone off the boil of spending time in the Bible each day, Bible memorization, whatever it is, get back to it. Memorization and meditation, in my opinion, are the pathway to spiritual maturity. It's through that we store up God's word in our hearts and we guard and protect our hearts, and that leads to spiritual maturity. So we're to store up. We're also to guard. If you have an open fire or you've seen one in operation, you'll know that if you put some wood on that's a bit sparky, you need to have a fire guard, don't you, to stop all the sparks getting out. When I grew up, we used to have a little Lancashire heeler, just a little black dog about this big. And it used to lay on the hearth and it used to just get as close to the fire as it could. And I remember watching it just wriggling closer and closer, and we couldn't complain. It was so small, it didn't block any heat. But then every time a spark used to jump out, it used to start yelping. And some of you will experience that if you've got an open fire and a dog, and it starts yelping, but it's still remaining in the same place. Just stupid. And it's stupid, and only a dog would do that, but is it? Are we like that? Allowing ourselves to be damaged by the sparks, whatever they are. We're to guard the truth. It is so, so easy to be subtly moved away from the truth. We might think it will never happen, but it is so dangerous. We just start moving we're no longer rock solid on the Bible, but it's our tradition or it's our view or it's our whatever it is. We must be very careful to not stop continually searching the scripture and guarding the truth that we find there in our hearts. I mean, Timothy, of all people, He was the Apostle Paul's like ministry trainee. What a great mentor to have. And yet Paul constantly wrote to Timothy to remind him not to make a shipwreck of his faith. If Timothy needs reminding, how much more do we all? So we're to make sure we guard the truth, and also we're to bind them upon our hearts, impress them on our hearts, force them down into the control center. That doesn't come just through reading the Bible and closing it. It comes through just pouring over it, spending time through prayer, through acting upon it. And these things then become more and more part of our hearts. Let me close by making this point. There is much knowledge out there. There are many words. I mean, you could go to Waterstones, or you could go on the internet, or you could get a Kindle, whatever it is. There is so much stuff that you can think about. There is so much knowledge that you can spend your time thinking over. There is so much understanding to be had. And knowing your history, yeah, great. Knowing your geography, great. Knowing your politics, great. Or sport, or whatever it is. Knowing your Star Trek, maybe not so great. But all that stuff, it might make you a very interesting dinner guest. But ultimately, all we're doing is gathering dust. I know we need to know how to live in this world. I know we need to learn different things. But ultimately, it's God's word that counts. And at times, God's words might seem pretty dusty to our sinful hearts. But God's words are gold. They are the means that God uses to direct our lives in God-honoring ways. So let's not be fools ignoring God. Let's not be fools thinking that we know better than God. Let's make sure we're people who store up God's word in our hearts, who guard it there, who bind it so that we know Him better and we can live faithfully in His world.